Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning to worship together in the space or at home, wherever you are. I want to draw your attention to some of the things that are happening in the life of our church over the next couple of weeks. You'll find in your bulletin information about how to love our neighbors well. We are hosting the Daytime Warming Center again for another 2 weeks in February, the first 2 weeks of February. And the best gift of hospitality we can give is a hot meal in a warm space. And so you'll see there are lots of different ways we can support our guests while they're here those first 2 weeks of February. You'll see on the back of your bulletin, or in the back of the announcements, a QR code. If you turn on your phone as if to take a picture, that will pop up our website where you'll find a link of the things that you can offer. Some of the groups from the church will be providing meals, and then we have 2 days where we're going to be providing a meal based on all the ingredients the congregation brings. So we, Sue Ellen and Carolyn, have worked to put menus together and grocery items together that we need to make those meals. So if you can't be here on a weekday to cook, there are ways that you can support those meals by bringing in ground beef or green beans. So we invite everybody to check that out as we take very seriously the work of being hospitable to those who are most vulnerable around us in these cold winter months. So would you please check that opportunity out? I want to also make sure that the annual financial meeting is on your radar. That is February 4, 1 week later than it normally is, so make sure you catch that change. We'll be gathering after worship in the fellowship hall for a brief meeting, about an hour or so. During that meeting, we'll be sharing about an art memorial that's being created in Stacy's honor, and so we are eager to share that with you, and we'll also share about and hopefully approve of this balanced budget we have to share with you. That information will be coming. The budget will be ready for you next week, so you have a week to look it over before we meet together on February 4. After that, we're going to have a potluck together, and you can find information about that in your bulletin as well. And then lastly, we have the inquirers gathering for folks who are newish or folks who are interested in membership. We invite you to check that out. That will be at my house next Sunday in the afternoon. If you have any questions about that, you can check in with Paul or me. We'd love to have you join us. So now, let's enter into worship as we are, with all that we are. Let us worship the living God.
Thank you. you are able, please stand. Dear God, thank you for community. Thank you for the love we find in each other, in ourselves, and in you. Thank you for moving us all to be here today, together. Where love is not shared, give us the strength to share it. Amen. God alone, my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from God.
God alone is my rock, my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken.
Trust in God at all times, O people. Pour out your heart to your Maker. God is a refuge for us. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God.
Steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord, for you repay all according to your work.
That he may have mercy on them, and to God, for he will abundantly pardon. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Or in some other place you've been, let me show you how this goes. Sometimes when our bodies need to calm down, sometimes in school settings we do this thing called a shark fin breath. Can you put your hand up high like this? And then you bring it down, and as you go by your eyes, you can close them. And then you bring your hand down to your heart. And then sometimes you can add the shh sound, just a very soft shh. Let's try it. Put your hand above your head. Bring it down in front of your face. Close your eyes. That's one strategy we use when we need to invite our bodies to calm a little bit when we're at school. We have a way we do that here at church that's a similar thing. When we sing, "Be still and know that I am God," we even do this same thing because this is the way we say God. American Sign Language, God. So we're used to this sign. We heard now when Charlie was reading, he was reading from the psalm, and there was an invitation to be present with God in silence. That one of the ways we can be present with God is to be quiet. Sometimes that's hard for me. But we do it in Sunday school where we sing, "Be still and know." And remember, we sing it with our hands and we sing it with our voices, and then we hum it sometimes. And then we don't say any words at all or make any noise with our mouths, and we just do it with our hands. So here's what I'm going to invite you to do. We're going to do that now. We're going to sing "Be Still and Know," and we're going to sing it. We're going to do it three times through, singing it, then humming it, then no words at all. And then we're going to just see if we can sit quietly. I think we can do it as our way of being present with God, one of the ways we can be present with God. Are you guys ready to do that? Can we do that together? Can we sing our "Be Still and Know" song? Let's do that. Get your hands ready. We'll do our "Be Still." Here we go. "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." Now let's hum it. Ready?
Let's pray together. O God of all creation, source of light, comforter in the dark, steadfast companion to us all, we lift to you our deep thankfulness and praise, and we lift also to you our frustration, our hurt. We thank you for all who are dear to us. We thank you for strangers in whom is Christ. We thank you for all the pleasures we take in being loved and the pleasures we take in sharing our love. We thank you also that where we have been in pain, you have been there also, present with us. All these gifts are given by your love for us all. Into that love we place the world's need and our own. We pray for people who are weary of their lives and for those who are overwhelmed by more obligations than they feel they can bear. We pray for those who are frustrated by their limitations and for those who are too much alone. We pray for people, including ourselves, who do not realize the strength at hand for braver, truer, more faithful living. May all of us who are in need of better perspective or renewed strength or clarified purpose find it by leaning more fully into your love for all the world, including ourselves. We pray now for these, for Esther Floyd, Mary Gregg, Marlene Francis, Eva Kelly, Jill Damon, Betty Gerstler, Marilyn Marsh, Mervyn Ucarts, David Craig, Mike Kelly. Beth Cranberry, the Stotts family, Lovely Varghese, Paul Larson, Grange Burnside, the Sanford family, Mrs. Essie Slaughter, Simona Butler, John Rowe, Faye Key. And now in silence we offer our personal prayers. Now, God, may all our prayers be gathered into your gracious will for all the world. And may our prayers and our lives more and more conform to the Spirit of Jesus, who taught us how to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, will you please rise for the reading of the Gospel. This is from the very first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Now, after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. As Jesus passed the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers for human beings." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired hands, and they followed Jesus. The word of the Lord. Be seated. Listen to a poem by Mary Oliver. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began. Though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice. Though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles. "Mend my life," each voice cried. But you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do. It was already late enough, and a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice which you slowly recognized as your own that kept you company. as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save. That poem is called The Journey, but it doesn't describe a trip or anything happening along the way on a journey, nothing at all about a destination. It's called The Journey, but it is about what resists the journey as it's needing to begin. It's about what has to be pushed through and left behind for the journey to happen. Something must be departed from. In the poem, what must be left behind are other people's expectations, their assumptions and projections onto you, what they want you to be. And so it starts out, you finally knew what you had to do and began, though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice. And you felt the old tug at your ankles, "Mend my life," each voice cried. But you knew what you had to do. And so in the poem, you leave those voices behind, and only when having gotten some distance from them do the stars begin to burn for you, and a new voice, a new one, can be heard. There's something like this in the text we read this morning, though in much smaller scale. Two stories, really, but they're joined together and so much alike, they're really twins. In scene one, there are two brothers who are fishing. They're standing not far from the shore. They are casting out together a great big net, pulling it in for what fish they can gather. And then they hear a voice from behind them saying, "Follow me." They turn and recognize him, because Jesus has been in their town for a bit. They've likely heard him teach. They've likely heard stories. "Follow me," he says. "I'll fix your fishing. Let's go get you started on your part in changing the world." And they simply turn and go. Leave the water and walk away with him. But the writer of this gospel does another thing here, not necessary to the plot at all. Mark takes his camera and moves it into focus on something lying on the ground. Fishing nets left behind. Just on up the beach, there are two other brothers. These are out in the boat fishing, and their dad is in that boat with them. Again, Jesus looks out at them. "John, James, follow me." And out they go, and in they come. And off the five of them now go, walking into their future together. But again, the camera of the story makes the unnecessary move to settle and focus on a boat with spaces in it where the men used to be, and their father sitting there still with his mouth open. Must be important, this focused detail of something left behind. So I'm going to think it must be important for our stories also. For us to journey toward new meaning, new direction, new ways of being, new joy. For us to grow, for us to live closer to the way of Jesus will mean walking away from what prevents us. Give it some consideration. In your own case, what might need leaving behind if on this very day love said, follow me? It's worth noticing that what the four brothers left behind was not a bad thing at all. What they left was their jobs. Jobs are a good thing. Only a job can take up a life. And the new invitation to them from Jesus meant letting time open up, meant clearing their days and freeing their energies for new endeavors, new learning, new growing. Could there be any parallel in our own lives to something like that? Something devouring your energy and time that could be at least in part stepped back from to free you for new possibilities and truer ones in the time you have. But for us, most of what needs to be left is not good at all. It's the stuff that has been doing damage. Damage to us, damage to others. Stuff that is as a distortion to who we are meant to be. Hindrances to living freely in love. So imagine it, God's love does walk up to you and say, follow me today. You'd really like to go. What heavy thing, what hurtful thing would need laying down on the ground so you could do it? In the poem, again, other people's demands and expectations, the voices around you shouting their bad advice, mend my life. So it's true, sometimes friends or family or society at large can press against us with enormous force to mold us, control us, make us something other than we are created to be and now called to be. The hard truth is that sometimes taking our truest path will require walking away from sick relationships, or at least changing our way of being in them. What else might need leaving? Maybe our need to have so much control. Maybe our illusion of self-sufficiency, our unwillingness to receive help or ask for it. Maybe some of our possessions, bigger portion of our money. What else needs walking away from? Guilt. For some reason we thought was ours to bear forever. Self-accusation. Cynicism. Passing so much judgment on others. The convenience of coasting through your life, indifference to injustices and suffering around us. Think of it. Think of the possibilities. All that would be just marvelous to let go of and walk free of. Put yourself in the story. And Jesus came and said, "Follow me," and leaving their guilt, their money, their fears, their self-importance, and much, much more. Leaving all of it on the ground. They followed. Or in the famous lines from the book of Hebrews, seeing then that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely and run the race that is before us. We may think of spiritual growth as something we add to our lives, but that's not actually how it works. To choose a path, it is necessary to say goodbye to the alternative. It is wise as well to put down the baggage that keeps us from following the path. As Meister Eckhart said, spiritual growth is mostly a matter of subtraction. Is it difficult? Walking away from old voices and their bad advice, leaving behind old habits of thinking and acting, letting go at last of old familiar crushing burdens we don't have to bear but refuse to not. Is it hard to stop that mess? Often, yes. Bad as all that stuff may be, it's our stuff. It's what we know. And damaging or not, we rely on what is familiar to assure us of who we are. The thought of leaving is daunting. As the poem has it, you feel the old tug at your ankles. And Lamott said of her own experience, "I never let go of anything that didn't have my claw marks on it." But the letting go is possible. It's possible especially as we keep practicing it. Practicing at the business of leaving and letting go. More consistently sharing and giving all the time, more and more. Stepping back from some of our habits, at least for a while. Or surprising ourselves with breaking into song or other spontaneous acts of joy. Or practicing the kind of regular prayer that is essentially the opening of hands. To let go. Let go. Leave behind. Leave behind. The point, of course, is never the letting go. Is never just the leaving behind. The point is, and the point only is, moving forward into your truest life and therefore freeing yourself up as you need to go to your truest life. What calls to you? might go by many names, but at the moment let us name it joy. Joy is calling to you, God's own beloved, speaking your name, bidding you get up and follow. To move toward God's beloved is to choose his gladness and his immeasurable freedom, real freedom. What wouldn't you leave behind for that life to be yours? There is no hearing of the word without responding to it. So this is the time of making new offerings of what we have and of who we are. Let us worship God through our giving. God, may all of our gifts, all of our hope, all of our yearning love be gathered into the vastness of your love for us all. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Grateful to God and grateful, so grateful for each other. Let us give expression to the gift that is grace upon all of our lives. May the peace of Christ be with you. Now, dear friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's own face be lifted upon you and give every grace to your living. May God give you grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to give something big for something good. Grace to know that the world is now too small for anything but love and too dangerous for anything but truth. So may Christ take your minds and think through them. May Christ take your lips and speak through them. May Christ take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.